This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Staub Audio Engineering. If you have listened to any of the episodes, you have undoubtedly heard me talk about Mike and the phenomenal audio engineering work that he does. His mixes and masters are truly some of the best that I've ever heard. I love working with Mike on all of our Dreamfield tunes, on all of our Summit One tunes. He is an absolute wizard. Make sure to hit him up, inquire about mixing and mastering prices, and take your tracks to the next level. Oh, yeah. And Mike is also one of the nicest, kindest human beings you'll ever meet. Definitely hit him up and work with him.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of the producers, artists, and creators that are tuning into the show. My name is Cody Christensen, and you are listening to the Chilled Samples Podcast. Yo, yo, everyone. This is the first episode of the new question and answer series for the Chilled Samples Podcast, and I am joined here with the very first guest of this podcast, returning to be the very first guest for this new type of episode, Mr. Jin Tsai. Josh, how's everything going, my friend?
Yeah, everything goes fine. I'm good. And how are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. I'm stoked to launch these new types of episodes. So a little backstory on the creation of these types of episodes. The typical episode, I like to ask those really macro level questions to figure out who the guest is as an artist, figure out their life story, kind of figure out where they where they've been in their life, where they're at now. But these Q&A episodes are an opportunity to be able to ask guests like yourself questions directly from the community. So we can get a little more micro level in regards to even production techniques, marketing techniques, and of course, just being able to boost the engagement and allow fans and listeners of the podcast to ask questions directly to people like you. So I'm pretty pumped, man. It's going to be fun. And I can't thank you enough for being one, the first guest of all time, and two, to be the first guest for these types of episodes, man.
On second time, the first guest, huh? I'm like the guinea pig of your show.
You are, bro. Thank you for being the guinea pig of the Chilled Samples podcast, man. Yeah, that, no, yeah, you nailed
it. It's my honor. It's my honor.
Dude, it's wild. We've almost known each other for like 2 years at this point. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a long time. My God.
Yeah, March of 2020, man. And a lot of things have happened. So I guess before we dive into the questions, dude, how have things been since we first recorded, which was like a year and a half ago?
Things have been turbulent. I think I've learned a lot of lessons in life. And financially and also with music stuff and like professionally and everything. But I think everything is going for the better, definitely.
Good, man. Good. So, yeah. Well, and that's,
how about you?
Yeah, same, dude. Same. I've learned a lot over the past year and a half. And of course, hopefully I've gotten better at hosting podcast episodes
at that very first time. Still full-time
music? Still full-time music, man. Still doing it, nice. which is great. And similar to you, just trying to figure out better financial strategies and then, of course, better marketing and music strategies to keep this dream fueled and funded. Man. Well, Josh, are you ready to just dive in?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do it, man.
Should I look them up or are you going to read them?
I got you. I'll read them for you. So question number one is coming from Paz, who is based in the Netherlands.
What's up, Paz?
Dudes, yeah, crazy story for him, man. So he just got certified as a Wim Hof trainer, which is wild.
That's so cool, man.
I know, I'm pretty excited.
That's so cool. So, boss, if you hear this, come look me up. I need a trainer. I'm also doing the cold showers and like the breathing sessions, but it's nice to have someone who actually does this as a training.
Yeah, straight. And he's like straight up certified. So that'd be huge. So pause, take that suggestion and reach out to him, man.
That's really cool.
Pause, he is asking, how did you land your first label release?
That's a good question. I don't know. Let me think about it. I would say collabing with other people, but I totally forgot. I don't even know when my first label release was. I wonder. I totally feel, yeah, I think like I think the reason he asked this question is because he wants to know how, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that's like, especially with lo-fi collaborations, just collab with people and then you will land something. Because most of the labels, yeah, they do accept submissions, but they like accept it faster when it's someone that's already in their circle. So yeah.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
That will be that.
And going a little bit even further into those collaboration processes is figuring out what you can bring to the table for those collabs to really begin becoming a collaboration machine,
definitely.
Just like Hoffy Beats has shown us all how to do.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he's a machine. It's insane what he does. But yeah, respect to him, definitely.
Much respect, love.
Yeah, know your strengths, I would say. Definitely, know your strengths. Just like how you came up to me with like, yeah, I can play the trumpets. That's how we met, even. Like, you sent me a message on Instagram asking me if we can do a collaboration and like whatnot. So yeah, know your strengths, talk to people, reach out, and you will get there.
Yeah, well, and so along those same lines, so how do you approach labels now that you do have those connections with other artists and the labels within the scene?
I just send them a message through the like submit area on Discord, and that's basically it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think that like there's no magic anymore after you've done all the collaborations and you are like in the servers, and yeah, it's just like make stuff, get accepted, and if you don't get accepted, release it on your own or whatnot. Yeah, it's like that. I don't know, it's not like, it's just, as I said, just collaborate. That's the hardest part of it. Just like putting yourself out there, that's it.
Yep. No, yeah. And that's, and Josh, yeah, great advice, man. And then this next question is coming from Pavani, who's also based in the Netherlands. What does your mixing template look like, or what does your mixing process look like?
My mixing process is, I would say, an artistic one, because I basically work a lot with templates, and I have a certain mastering template that I use, and I just like, it's just bits and pieces from things that I've learned here and there over the internet from other producers and whatnot. But I would say that when I master, I just first draw the whole song and just see what is comforting to my ear with like all the instruments. I just like adjust the volumes a bit, and like really the technical aspect of mixing to me is more, especially with lo-fi, trying to find a space for everything. You mean like I would say Jesus, putting this stuff in words. The thing is, I can remember the time that I was learning all of this stuff, and then it's really easy to put everything in words. But now it's like, just like I do it so many times, I just do it. It's like, I don't even think anymore about it. But I would say like one of the good things, and especially if you start out, is to not put as much elements in the same frequency area. That's easier for mixing. So for example, if you have like hi-hats, you can layer them, of course, but then don't put them all at like 0 dB. Just put them a little bit soft. And I would say try to put just one or two instruments in every section of the frequency range. So that makes mixing a lot easier, especially if you start out. And I can just reach what I have on my master chain because I actually have it open.
Yeah.
Because I work. Yeah. Yeah, since they're asking, so I'm good. Like, I use Limitless. I use tonal balance, and I use some multiband compression. And this is actually, the multiband compression is something I've learned from a video of a dubstep producer on YouTube. You should look him up. He's called Infect.
Yep.
He's a very technical guy. And what he did with this multiband compressor, like, it shocked me, but it's amazing. Yeah, you should look up that video. You'll find it somewhere on the internet, and you'll find it. Just have to look through a few hours of YouTube. No biggie. Those streams are fucking long, but nonetheless very interesting. And some FAB filter, that's it. And something new, I use a vintage tape on my masters, it helps me to like play with the faces a bit so that I get a little bit of more of high end. That's it.
Yeah, well, and something that you and I have talked about relatively often since we both came from the electronic world, what did you do to transition your mixing techniques from creating like dubstep and electronic music to creating lo-fi and chill hop?
Swallowing my pride and put my drums softer.
Mm-hmm. Period.
Yeah.
Soften up those drums, people. Yeah, one that is huge advice. And yeah. especially coming from the dubstep world where our drums are so punchy and we're sidechaining everything as hard as we can to achieve that punchiness. And it's a hard habit to get out of or to pay attention to when you're transitioning genres, for sure.
Yeah, it's really a hard habit. It really took me like at least 6-7 months, if not longer, just to like, I don't know. It was so like in my system to just put my drums like hard. And then if your drums are hard, you put the rest hard, but it's actually the other way around. If you put like your drums soft, you can actually build also all your synths and piano softer. And that's way better also, especially for lo-fi. It fits the genre. It's way better for soundscaping and mixing and mastering and whatnot. So yeah, actually on a track that I'm working on right now, my drums are -24 dB.
Yep.
Wow. That's like, and I think that I did a high cut from, let's see, like, it's, and you can see how crazy it is compared to, like, it's almost, there's only until 100 hertz that there is sound. It's insane. Like, compared to what I used to do, like, I don't know, like, OTT on everything.
Yep, OTT on everything, baby. Yeah, the code of dubstep.
Yeah, so, yeah. So, yeah.
All right, and then next question. This is coming from Genesis, who's based out of Texas. What are some of your tips for creating unique drums, unique drum grooves?
Half beat. I fuck around a lot with half beat, and so what I love to do is just, if I'm like inspirationless or whatnot, I will just like grab shit from my sample library, splice and whatnot, and I will just drag it in there, whole loops, even with kicks and snares and everything. And I will just like, if I, for percussion, she has percussion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or he or she.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I would like just like put a high filter on it, so a high pass, and I would high pass the shit out of it until you just hear like the claps and a little bit of the percussion. And then I would just put some halftime on it and like tweak halftime until it sounds right. And if it doesn't sound right, I will just find another sample to do it. And I also layer those samples. I will just like put one softer, one louder, one in to the right, one to the left, and just see what happens. Cut shit out, add shit. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, well, just going with that creative flow, just to, especially when you're layering those Foley percussions and utilizing those random Foleys to fill in that space.
Exactly. Yeah, but it's also very time consuming, I would say. It's that's also like what I love to do right now is like, I work, as I said before, I work from templates. So every time I found like a very interesting percussion loop that I made, I will, and or a song that I really love, I will just like save it as a template and then like delete everything musical and then just like keep the drums, and then I will fuck around again with it when I make something different. And like, yeah, I'll like put multiple instances of half beat on it. Half beat is amazing. You should. It's like for the future of a future. Jesus, my God, it was a long day. Fruity Loops, Fruity Poops people, you can use gross beat.
Yeah. Perfect. Hey, and then so diving into a kind of a time management question here. So we got Seth, who is one half of Santa Rita, based out of Philadelphia. Santa Rita. Yeah, I think they're, so what, it's a lo-fi that? Duo. Yeah, they're pretty solid.
Oh, I have to check it. I don't know.
Sup, Seth. So his question is, how do you split time between production and marketing, and how do you find a good ratio between those two?
I suck at marketing. I don't have a ratio. So yeah.
So let's so even just thinking about like business administration and developing your network, how do you split time between the actual creation process of your music to like building your brand and your connections within the scene?
So basically what I do is I have an agenda which works, but the strongest gem that works for me, and I also said it, I think, in the first one, is like having sticky notes and putting it on there, what I need to do in a day, and that's it. That's what I need to do. Everything that's on there is going to be done today or tomorrow, and otherwise the day after, but then at least it's going to be done in a period of 3 days. On marketing, I'm actually, I would say that I try to, like, step up my Instagram game a bit more, but, like, basically I'm just loving making music the most, so maybe I'll just pay someone to do my marketing for me in the future, I would say. I think marketing is important, but it's not the thing that I love. It's not what I got into when I thought, oh, hey, I'm going to make music. I wanted to make music. I wanted to do marketing. So, yeah.
And that's like... That's a really hard balance to strike sometimes, because I definitely find myself in that realm, and I love doing the podcast, but if you're taking time to do anything else aside from the creation process, you're sacrificing the time that you're actually spending making music. And so that's always in the back of my head, even with training and climbing mountains and creating sample packs. I always try to stay cognizant of how much I'm taking away from the actual music creation process, because just like you said, that's the number one important factor in why we're doing all of this. So it is difficult to find that finicky balance between all of those different aspects.
One of my favorite authors, Napoleon Hill, he said it's how do I phrase this? He said that it's good to know where you can find people that can do things for you. You don't have to do everything on your own.
Yep.
So I'm also trying to apply that strategy, only it costs money. I think do whatever the fuck you love and just put your time and effort on that. And yeah, like, the rest will come. I mean, if you love marketing, go do marketing and music. I don't, it's like, it's not that I hate it or anything, but I also don't really love it
Nope. Beautiful perspective, man. Now we have some questions coming from Squida, and he asked 4 really good questions in a row, so we will just dive through these.
Nice. Let's go.
What makes a song good to you?
Feel.
Mm.
And drums, because I love percussion and drums, but it's of course a taste thingy, but like I think I like to feel my music, and like if I close my eyes and if I really feel it, like some emotion, then I think it's a really good song. Those are the best for me, because like I think I've made like hundreds of productions, but I think just a few really got me in the chills, you know, that you were saying, oh shit, this really feels good. And even if the mixing and mastering is like shit, but still the feeling of the tune, if that's like, that's good, that's to me one of the most important things of a good tune, I would say.
And a follow-up question to that. So what is a song that will always hold a special place in your heart, whether it's your own or just a song that you're a fan of?
Axel Tesselev, Bad Karma. I think you know it, huh?
I don't know if I do, man.
Yeah? Check it after the podcast. It's really nice. Axel Tesselev. It's also one of the only songs that I like from him, but yeah, I don't know. I think the feel in that song is really good.
Yeah, well, it's so hard to quantify when a song really hits you and you're like, I love this song. You know, like sometimes that's a hard thing to like put into words of like why you love it, aside from the feel.
It's art, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like Yeah, so it's yeah, I don't know. It's like always hard to describe. It's a very emotional thing for me to describe. Of course, you have like the difference between good productions and bad production on a technical side, mm-hmm. but that's not necessarily the definition of a good or bad song to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can also have like the genres that you don't like and have maybe have them be really good productions, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, you feel me.
I feel you, man. I feel you. And so another question coming from Squeeta, going back to drums, my friend. So what do you pay attention to most when you're constructing drums?
That they're crooked and that they have a bounce.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, I love crooked drums in lo-fi. That's also one of the things that really draw me to lo-fi, because I think that dubstep and everything is very straight. You know what I mean? Everything's on the grid. And lo-fi is not, and I love that. And in a way, it's still straight. It's like, I don't know, I love to play with that, all those different rhythms and, yeah, grooves. Yeah, definitely. That's my favorite thing.
Yeah, well, and if somebody's tuning in that most of their percussion is on the grid, what do you recommend them to start exploring those off-kilter beat patterns?
Come again?
So if it's a young producer that's just diving into lo-fi and they're only producing like on time, on the grid, what would you recommend them to do to try and find kind of those off-kilter grooves in drum patterns?
So I would say get a 4-bar loop and just start to mess up the snares on that are on the grid and like try not to, yeah, and I don't know, it works for me, but like I would say just take them a little bit off the grid per snare every time and see if it like adds up to you. If it doesn't, just tweak it until it does. And yeah, don't be scared. I mean, there are lines, but those lines aren't there for you to just like put everything in between. You can fuck up everything. If you want, like, just put it on the line, before the line or whatnot. If it sounds good, it sounds good.
Yep.
So yeah.
And beautiful advice, my friend. And then last question coming from Squeeta. This is a deep one. What is the overall mark that you'd like to leave with your music?
Hmm. Well, that's a good one. Shit. That makes you think. What would be the overall mark for me? I think that's what lo-fi does for me, like making people calm. I started out with lo-fi because the sounds and everything from lo-fi, and even with, and that's also one of the things that I'm struggling the most with, is that I love percussions and I love a lot of sounds, definitely. But what I love the most is that all of these elements working together still making a beautiful and calm production that makes you calm. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I want to like impress on people, like just make them calm.
Mm-hmm. Which is a beautiful sentiment that man, all of our, like everyone in our entire scene can really latch onto. And I think we're, the impact that we're having at that global level is maybe even more special than what we're realizing in regards to the medicinal quality of lo-fi and chill hop in the tracks that we're putting out. It's going to be interesting to see how that impact evolves, or our knowledge around that impact evolves, especially as the scene continues to grow and gains in popularity.
Yeah, definitely.
And then last and final question, Josh, and this is another one from Pavani, and this is another deep question. Are you ready for it?
No.
Well, I'm asking anyway, man. Are you ready for this? So it is.
Yes.
What is the meaning of life?
I don't know. Be happy. What is the meaning of life? Yeah. Told you I wasn't ready. God. Okay, good one. What's the meaning of life? Yeah, the meaning of life is whatever the fuck you make of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no one was born with a, how do you say that, like a blue paper on what to do on the earth. Do whatever makes you happy and try to stick to it. And I think, yeah, like to add on, so like that's my perspective, do what makes you happy. and trying to stick to it and trying to stay focused on that. And I want to add to that, watch out with watching too much of how other people live mm-hmm. their life. Because that will make you lose focus on how you live yours. That's my answer.
Yeah, and that's Josh, that's a beautiful note to end this on. Yeah, that we can get in a very strange and negative game of comparing ourselves to others without knowing the full picture. Yeah.
Guilty.
Yeah, guilt, of course, man, of course. I think we all are, and in the tools and the platforms that we exist on in regards to social media makes that even more ample and easy to do. So, Josh, great sentiment and great advice, my friend. And I just want to thank you again for being willing to be the number one guest on these shorter, quicker Q&A episodes. number one guinea pig, baby. Yeah, man. Well, let's... Once we click stop record, let's get you on for another just macro level episode. And to everybody tuning in, if you want to get your questions answered by some of the legends in our scene, like Jinsei, just pay attention to social media, join my email list, and I'll send out those opportunities where you can get your questions answered directly by some of the top and leading artists in our scene. Josh, it's always a pleasure, man. Let's schedule in another time to chat. And
yes, let's do it.
Yeah. Thanks for being the Chilled Samples podcast guinea pig.
My pleasure. Maybe I can become the mascot or something.
Yeah, you totally can. I think we can make that happen, brother. All right, everyone. We'll be back with another episode with Jinsei soon. Until then, peace.
Peace. We'll be right back.